Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
Thank you for listening to Exploring Missions this weekend, and we're thankful that you listen. Many of you do it by podcast. I hear that a lot. So you can go to AFR.net, and you can look at all the programming, but one of those is Exploring Missions, and it's once a week. But we're documented for several years back. Nathan and I have been doing this program together, and it was born out of another program that I do, Exploring the Word. We said, you know, once a month, we need to do one of our Bible studies on missions. And we took that to the director, and he said, how about once a week and a whole different program? And that's how this program was born. And we've had a journey being able to talk to people all over the world and talk to you each week about being on mission for God. And we want you to be as effective as you can. Being effective is really, really important. You want a doctor that's effective. You want a mechanic that is effective. And so we want to be effective as followers of Christ. Nathan, you know, sometimes different people, I would say this, respond to different avenues of communication. I heard a guy that was training me, and we were talking about teaching, and he said the worst way to teach is the same old way every Sunday. Change it up a little bit. Have some discussion sometimes. Have word pictures. And so today we want to talk about the keys of effective discipleship and disciple making. Lead us through this study. Yeah.
So, you know, as we begin, we can think of the verse that we hear every time we begin this program, Exploring Missions. You hear Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And today we're going to focus in specifically on the idea of making disciples. Go and make disciples of all the nations. And even in our intro that we recorded, I'm thinking of the brother who recorded that part of the phrase for us. He's still serving the Lord, Pastor Tega, from Ethiopia. I remember hearing his story as a young man, hearing the gospel, responding to that, and he was the first person in his village, not just his family, but in the whole village there in Ethiopia, to give his life to follow Jesus, and immediately kicked out of his village, not allowed to come back home for following Jesus. So most of us are not in a place that the cost of discipleship is so great, is so heavy as that. Others may be listening somewhere in the world who that's a normal everyday occurrence. But when we talk about making disciples, we're talking about paying the cost for both following Jesus as a disciple, but also there's a cost to pay as we make disciples. It's not easy. It's a hard, difficult work, but it's a necessary work that we're called to do. We're given that commission, that command to go and make disciples of all the nations. So as we jump into this, that's my prayer, is that we would be faithful in making disciples. Just start with one person. That's where it starts. It starts with someone else.
And you want to spend your time with him?
Yeah.
You want that person to be effective? Jesus chose to do that. He called the disciples. Now, every once in a while, it'd be two. But he still called them individually, come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Another way of saying that, I'm going to make you a disciple.
Yeah.
And so Jesus did it by spending time with them.
Yep. So we're getting this today, not just from the Bible, but kind of some of the Bible fleshed out into principles, into some practices. But the book that I'm actually referring to is called A Vision of the Possible. It's by a man named Daniel Sinclair. That's a pseudonym because he's writing from a place where being a missionary was not really allowed, if you will. So Daniel Sinclair, A Vision of the Possible. If there is such a thing as a missionary's handbook, this book is probably the closest thing you could find outside of the Bible. I mean, if you've got the Bible and you just go put it into practice, you're going to be okay. But this is a really good
resource. Give the name again, because I visualize people. What was that book?
The subtitle is Pioneer Church Planting in Teams. So you're talking about going into unreached places in the world to make disciples of the nations who are neglected or hard to reach. The book is called A Vision of the Possible.
Amen.
All right. So what is discipling, if you want to call that a verb, discipling or making disciples? Well, it's basically you take one person who is a little bit, it doesn't have to be a lot, a little bit more advanced in their maturity, their spiritual maturity. They're a little bit further down the path in following Jesus. They don't have to be miles ahead, just a few steps ahead. But you take that person and they come alongside a brother or sister for a short amount of time. It could be a few years. It could be a few weeks or months. Usually the longer the better. But for a period of time, that more mature brother or sister coming alongside another brother or sister in the Lord to very intentionally befriend them, support them, help them grow in Jesus Christ. That's what it is.
When I hear that, I could not help but think about Paul on his missionary journeys. In some of the locations, he just spent a few months there. But guess what they'd do before they left? They'd ordain elders in every city. And that means don't let them be a novice, a newcomer. Here, if we're not careful, we think, oh, man, you got to be saved for years and years not to be a novice. But Paul, it was weeks or months that somebody would be ahead of the others, and they would pave the way, would they not?
Yeah, that's right. And you got to remember, this is the Holy Spirit's work. So we're on his timetable. We're not on ours. We tend to be lagging behind when we have our own man-made time frame of things. Also, at the same time, I've seen it where, and you've probably seen it if you think about people that grow spiritually, growth can happen quickly.
Amen.
You can move toward maturity. You're not going to reach full maturity for years. Let's just be honest about that. And can I also be honest and say, this is maybe my only hang up with John Wesley, is that I don't believe we can reach perfection before either Jesus returns or I'm dead, right?
And right.
But you can move toward maturity rapidly and in a short time.
I heard it said this way about sinlessness. We can never reach the place of being sinless, but we can sin less than we do. And you want to grow in Christ. Part of it is being like him, thinking like him.
That's right. And that's the end result of discipling, of disciple making, is to see someone become more like Jesus. That's the final result, is a Christ-likeness in our lives. And so that's what the disciplee will reflect the discipler. Their life will be almost reproduced, not precisely like a clone, but a lot of the spiritual DNA will be passed on, will be fleshed out in that other person's life. And so maybe that's what we're scared of a lot of times. We're like, I'm not ready to make a disciple if they're going to end up looking like me. But remember, the Holy Spirit's doing the work not only in their life, but also in your life to bring you toward maturity in Jesus Christ.
After doing this program for these years and doing Exploring the Word for these years, I found out I do more learning by teaching than I did any other way. So get in there.
All right.
Those of you listening, don't be reluctant. Be that person that wants to grow in Christ and help others grow.
All right. One picture before we jump in. Think about someone training to become an airplane pilot. Now, I've been on an airplane, but I'm not going to go anywhere near the controls. I like to sit in the back, not the front. But someone who is training to become a pilot, you can study aviation. You can study wind patterns and navigation in the classroom. But at some point, that student only can move forward with the benefit of hours and hours of one-on-one personalized training. The flight trainer has to take that student up into the air, out of the classroom, and get up in the sky. And they have to demonstrate various flying techniques. The learner will watch, maybe take notes, maybe debrief after that. But then the controls are passed over to that student. And it's no longer the flight instructor flying, it's that student, that new would-be, gonna-be-soon pilot. And so you can carry the metaphor further in your mind. But that's a picture of discipling, of disciple-making. So let's look at eight keys to effective disciple-making. The first key is that it is grace-filled. It is filled with grace. And I'm thinking about 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. See, a discipling relationship is just that. It's a relationship. In verse 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says to Timothy, "To be strong, my son, in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ." It's a grace-filled relationship, and that's where it starts. We can't go beyond grace, can we?
We cannot. We are saved by grace. We live by grace. And honestly, we die by grace. It's a grace-filled life. Let me just say, it's a grace life. The only life that a believer ever really lives is grace-filled. Need that like it's like in the book of Ephesians. The word riches is used six different times, but they were living like paupers. Mm. Live in the grace. It's filled. And notice what Paul said, be strong in it.
Yeah.
God's grace gives great strength in the walk with Christ.
That's right. So if you think about a relationship that is a discipling, intentionally, purposefully trying to grow in our maturity in Jesus Christ, and it's to be grace-filled, what that means is there's going to be a lot of mistakes along the way. So that relationship must be filled with God's grace to keep going. Both the person who is making a disciple, they're going to make a lot of mistakes. They're going to say the wrong thing at the wrong time. They're going to be a bad example at times.
Sounds like parenthood, too. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. Parenthood is a perfect picture of this.
It is.
And, of course, the new follower of Jesus or the disciplee is going to make mistakes. That's expected. You know, that doesn't surprise God. He's given us his grace. And when we mess up, he's there.
Amen.
And really, that's how we're to be strong in God's grace, is to give ourselves and give each other the grace to keep growing.
Amen.
All right. Number two, the second key in an effective disciple-making relationship, it is Christ-focused. Christ-focused. Paul said to Timothy, be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where that grace originates from. He is full of grace and truth.
Nathan, when I was at Blue Mountain College, which is now Blue Mountain Christian University, my professor, Dr. Travis, he said, I got the best suggestion you'll ever hear concerning preaching. We were all ears. We was going to write it down. He said, open the scriptures and make a beeline for Jesus. Mm. And that is the truth, isn't it? Christ focused in every way.
You'll never go wrong pointing somebody else to Jesus. Amen. Always point to Jesus. Now, Paul did that. He said, follow me as I follow Jesus. So he kind of pointed to himself, but he didn't stop there. He kept pointing people to Jesus. And so that's what Jesus never said. He didn't say, follow my followers. He said, follow me. And a lot of people get hung up there because they put their, I will say, trust. They put something, a lot of weight onto another person, whether it's a preacher, a pastor, even a discipler. They put all that onto them. The focus is on them. And guess what? They're going to get let down.
They're going to be let down.
They're going to get burned. They're going to get hurt. But if your focus is on Jesus,
amen,
that's the only place it can be.
Amen.
I like how our brother here, Daniel Sinclair, wrote in this book, A Vision of the Possible. Let me read this little paragraph about being focused on Christ in our disciple-making relationships. He says, disciple as Jesus discipled. Did he suffocate the 12 with the mother of all teaching programs? No. Here is what he did. He called them to relationship and to a commitment to grow. He spent lots of time with them. He taught them, and then he gave them opportunities to obey and practice what they were learning. He at times corrected them. He probably had a lot of times to have to correct them, right? He sent them out in ministry. He encouraged them to work as a group, and he gave them a vision for how the Father would use them in extraordinary ways to change the world. It's that simple.
That is powerful. Those of you who are listening, put your focus on Christ. Let it be Christ-centered. I use this word. He's the centerpiece of everything we do.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so number three, it is word-centered. It's centered on the Word. So you're not going to go off the pages of the Bible, so to speak. The content of what we teach is vital. Okay.
That's the reason on Exploring Missions, we, in any interview that we do, we try to find a scripture passage that relates to that, because God's Word doesn't return empty. It accomplishes what God sent it forth to do.
That's right. So learning and ministering, both, like receiving and hearing the Word, but also sharing and teaching the Word, they are at the heart of discipling. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, "The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust those things that you've heard, entrust them to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So there is content to a discipling relationship. It's not just a fellowship time. It's not just hanging out and having fun. Is that a part of it? Yes, absolutely. It should be fun, and there should be just time of, if you want to call it downtime or fellowship, fun. In fact, we don't read about it as much in the Bible because, well, I mean, it's the mundane times that are not recorded necessarily. But if you think about the Gospels, reading those, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, think about the disciples with Jesus. We get to see the highlights. We hear the teaching moments. We see the miracles and the events that occurred. What we're not reading about is those mundane times of travel from one village to the next, or sitting around the campfire and the conversations that may occur, just the hanging out time. But I imagine that in my mind. Do you?
I do.
I picture that a lot.
The one that comes to my mind is Paul, when they were gathering wood for a campfire, and he went out, and it was cold. That's the reason they did it. And he picked up a snake. It was stiff, cold-blooded. It was mixed in with the firewood.
Yeah, stiff like a stick,
yeah.
I guess.
And so when he threw it on the fire, it thawed out and bit him. And that mundane thing of gathering the
firewood
yeah. became a time of opportunity, because I put it in my vernacular, they sat around to watch him die. Mm. But he did not die, and they were thought, this is something. But God can even take the mundane things
yes.
and turn them into amazing times.
Yeah, so a discipling relationship is just some time spent living life together,
right.
going about some things, going on a road trip or riding down the road or just hanging out, sitting on the couch, talking, having a conversation.
Well, Nathan, I want to interrupt a minute. Parenting you and your two brothers, some of the most meaningful times that we ever had was in the car, going somewhere. Y'all were a captive audience, you
yeah.
know what I mean? And yeah, sometimes we had to separate three boys. I understand that. And you've got two sons and a daughter. A lot of teaching takes place in those travel times, mundane times.
Yeah, that's right.
Some of it happens on the way to church more than it does at church,
yeah.
to be honest.
Well, it's that whole picture of Deuteronomy 6, the great Shema, when we're told to teach, and there's two different types of teaching. You can teach informally when you get up and when you lie down, waking a child up. We're trying to get them to go to sleep. Please go to sleep. You know, tell them a story how many times. Or when you're on the road, there's that travel time. But there's also the formal instruction of let's gather around and let's hear what God has said in His Word. And that's also a key part of discipling. It's centered on the Word. There has to be some instruction. There has to be some content that is Bible-centered. And so you don't just hang out and talk about the ball game. Do you do that? Yeah, but you also spend some time in God's Word, learning and putting it into practice. And that's what the next step is, or the next key element of disciple-making. It's number four, oriented for obedience. It's obedience-based discipling, not knowledge-based. So if you stop with number three and you're just taking in God's Word, but there's no like squeezing out like a sponge, you're just taking it in, all this knowledge, without trying to put it into practice, without obeying it, it doesn't lead to maturity.
You know, we get people that ask us, how do we grow in the Lord? And the first three, but on the obedience-oriented, where we learn obedience is usually serving. Have you noticed that?
That's right. I mean, no, it is.
It really is. Are we doing it the way God said to do it, with a right heart attitude? So obedience-oriented, man, how important that is.
Yep. And so really, if you think about it, God's word is supposed to penetrate your mind and activate your mind. It's geared to penetrate your heart and activate your heart. But it also, and sometimes those two things, the head and the hands part, come together. The head and the heart piece come together in the hands, in the putting it into practice.
Yes, amen.
They make the full person fully mature. If you're not practicing what God's word teaches you, you're not going to be fully mature.
I just thought of this, hand and eye coordination. We talk about that athletically, and I lacked a little bit. It wasn't quite as coordinated as it should, but I've seen a brother.
You have good hand-eye coordination. I've seen you yo-yo. You can do some yo-yo tricks.
I can yo-yo. That's one of my favorite things to do. But have someone hand and eye coordinated, do that spiritually. Man, what an opportunity you have.
Yeah.
That's good.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Number five, it is multiplying. Discipleship, discipling, disciple-making is made for multiplication. It doesn't just stop with that one person. It doesn't stop with the second generation. It goes on to faithful men, to others, that third and fourth generation and beyond. I mean, think about how you got to hear the gospel, how you've been made a disciple. Somebody has passed it on to you. And so we got to realize it doesn't start with us and it hasn't stopped with us. It should not stop with us.
Amen.
It's reproductive.
Pass it on.
That's right. Number six, persevering. Now, in this book, the author is writing to missionaries going into hard-to-reach places, to difficult-to-serve places where persecution is a daily norm. Like my friend, the brother, Pastor Tega, who I mentioned at the beginning of this program. Well, that's the norm in a lot of places around the world. We don't necessarily, we're kind of insulated from a lot of that, if you're like me growing up in the Bible Belt here in the U.S. And so I have not experienced persecution for following Jesus. But it could be the next generation might have to face it, or that third or fourth generation might have to face it. And it's definitely true, brothers and sisters on the other side of the world will probably have to face that as a daily occurrence. And so there's different, I guess we can spiritualize perseverance, but sometimes it's just simply, I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what.
Yeah.
That's what it really comes down to. You get to the seriousness of your disciple making. And yes, it's important, like we said, to hang out on the couch and talk about the ball game. But it's direly important about receiving God's word, putting it into practice, multiplying that out, but then sticking with it. Persevering, even through persecution.
Faithful to the end.
That's right. Faithful men, right? You're not passing it on. Paul didn't tell Timothy, pass on this word and make disciples of unfaithful or wishy-washy.
Double-minded.
Double-minded people who are looking just for a spiritual high, and then when that high goes away, they're going to go away too. Someone who's going to stick with Jesus through it all.
Amen.
We're looking for those fat disciples, faithful, available, and teachable, persevering. Number seven, and we touched on this a little bit, but it's holistic. It's for the whole part of their life. It's not just a spiritual component of their life, and they can put God in a box and say, okay, now it's my time to disciple, and we'll take God out of his box and discuss that. And then, okay, now my time is over with this, so I'm going to put him back and
go live my life.
And then go live my life. No, it affects every part of your life. To follow Jesus as your Lord requires every aspect of your life to be turned over to him.
One of my heroes is in the Old Testament, Caleb, and what was said about him, he wholly, wholly, followed the Lord. What a testimony.
So as we're making disciples, we want to help the brother or sister in their walk with God, but also their family life, their work life, their life inside as a part of the body of Christ, the whole community. and other parts of their personal character. And so it's holistic. It's head, heart, and hands. Number eight, the last key to effective disciple making is that it's community based. In other words, it's not just you and them. It's not just one-on-one. There's a lot of one-on-one to this, but it's not just a one-on-one. It's also the whole body of Christ. It's the church. It's that fellowship of the believers that's so important. We disciple someone into community. They're not just me and them. We're not isolating ourselves from the church. We're a part of the church and what God's doing among his people. So we have to link them with the body of Christ as soon as possible. If they're a new believer, they need to be plugged into a Bible-believing church as soon as possible.
You know, when I see Jesus' ministry, yes, there was 500. Sometimes there were 70, and then there were 12,
yeah.
And then there were 3, and they were with one.
Yeah, it's a mix of all of that,
it
right?
It is, but out of the one came out of the 500.
Yeah.
Not exclusive, but together.
Yeah.
And be a part of a local church. And let me just warn you, there's none that are perfect. Chuck Colson said, and I know why, because we're human beings, and we will never achieve that in this life. So we're suggesting, listen, be an effective disciple person, but also be an effective disciple maker. Effective disciples can make if they choose to, and I think will, if they're really a disciple, will be a disciple maker. Some are just that one-on-one, and then maybe 1-on-3 and one after another, but you can do it in following Christ, can't you, Nathan?
Absolutely, and it's very essential. And so I'll just kind of finish by just maybe speaking to anybody that's a church leader, church staff member, a pastor. Expand what God wants to do in your ministry beyond just the pulpit, beyond just the teaching in a public or large group setting, beyond just big church, if you will. Jesus didn't do it that way. He did small groups, and he did a lot of discipling in small groups or even one-on-one. I'm not saying one is better than the other. I'm just saying if we want to make disciples, obediently make disciples, faithfully make disciples of all the nations, we've got to learn how to be effective in that. And so pray about who God would have you approach to make disciples of, and just see what happens. Just share a vision with them on what God wants to do. But he wants to use you to make disciples. And it starts with that next one.
And you're the one. Let God use you in the Great Commission. Thank you for listening to Exploring Missions.